Welcome to Chi Alpha at the University of Virginia. This podcast is a collection of messages designed to help you grow in our three anchors of real devotional life, real community, and real responsibility.
We hope that you enjoy this message and that it encourages you in your spiritual growth.
Hey Chi Alpha, it's Erin Herman. I'm excited to have you guys back in my home tonight as we journey through the series, Things I Need to Be Reminded of Often. I enjoyed being with you guys last week, and so I'm excited to be here tonight to close out this series. It's been an awesome one. Big shout out to Pete, Josh Fairchild, Blair, and Jen for doing this series. This has been a good semester. And so as we took that sharp turn home into life during the COVID crisis, we are focusing in on what are the principles of the Christian life that have meant something to us throughout our lives and are especially important to be reminded of now. What things about God that we know to be true, what things about scripture that we see to be true are present with us today. So as I thought about what I wanted to share with you guys tonight, as knowing that this is the last MNL for our fourth years, knowing that first, second, and third years, we're gonna see you guys soon, hopefully, I thought, what would I want to share with you guys if we were on a Zoom call together or if we were taking a socially distant walk through the neighborhood? So tonight I have something prepared for you guys. I wanted to tell you that since we have seen each other last, that I have improved on my crossword game. I have become a much more avid reader of the New York Times, and I have also become much more familiar with about the 2 mile radius around my house. So I am here in my home in Charlottesville, Virginia, and I'm surrounded by my houseplants. I joined onto the bandwagon of every millennial about a couple years ago, and so these are the fruits of my labor as far as my plants go. So I wanted to ask you guys something. Have you guys been learning something about yourselves lately? Or have you been learning something about your families, the people that are around you right now? Have you become more aware of the things that they do during the day? I know for one of my friends, she is living in an apartment and she started noticing that the neighbor upstairs vacuums their home multiple times a day. For me, it happened a couple days, maybe a week after we got home, and I started noticing something. My husband, whom I love and who is pretty orderly, very clean guy, but he would leave a dish someplace or he would leave out something where I didn't really think it belonged. And I started noticing that I was so much more sensitive to it than on an average week. Because as we made that transition home, we set up some desks upstairs to be our workspaces. We learned to do our grocery shopping differently. We started not going out anywhere, just like you guys. And I started feeling a lot more of the pressure closing in that this was now the place that I worked. This was the place that I rested. This is the place that I hung out, that I read books. This was my only spot. And so I think as everything else became sort of out of my control, my brain was just trying to manage what is the one thing that I can control. And so don't worry, guys, we talked about it. We're all cool. But I started noticing that I felt kind of a lack of control. And I know that for some of us, time at home has been a time where we've gotten to relax a little bit more. You guys have told me about your family game nights that have been fun, or getting away from grounds for a little bit has taken off some of the pressure. But then in other ways, we know that the suffering that's happening around the world, the ways in which the economy is on a downward cycle, or the ways that we're concerned about our friends, our family members, or even our own health, those things are still looming large. And things have been taken off the calendar. Summer internships have changed. But in all of these things that we don't have answers to, where does God fit in? If we believe that the God of the universe is not distant from us, then surely he has something to say to us in these circumstances. So that's what I want to explore with you tonight. As we look in the pages of scripture, there's a theme that kept emerging for me as I thought about what was happening around me and as I even felt some of that pressure sinking into my own life. What did I want to share with you guys tonight? Well, I do believe that scripture has something to say, and this is what I want to share with you, that in Christ, I know that my hope is secure. Your hope is secure. Our hope is secure. And so I want to look at a letter, the book of 1 Peter, which is a letter written from Peter. And just in that first chapter, we're going to explore what he says to a church. So we know that this letter was written by Peter, who was a disciple of Christ, meaning that this was a guy who knew Jesus well. He walked with Jesus during his earthly ministry. He saw the way that Jesus healed people, the way that Jesus taught. He was also there when Jesus died. And he was also there after Jesus was resurrected. He literally was a person who saw the resurrected Messiah. And this guy, a little while later, writes this letter to multiple churches. If you look at the book, I should have given you a little more time. I'll give you more time now. Looks like you've got it. So if you turn to 1 Peter, it says, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of a few different provinces in Asia Minor. I'm like you guys, if I can skip the hard words in scripture, I'll be better for it. These are provinces in Asia Minor, which would be around modern day Turkey. And we call this a circular letter, that Peter wrote this for multiple church communities. The situation was this, that the church communities were experiencing hostility, harassment, and social ostracism for being Jesus people. Whether it was because they held different beliefs or because their lifestyles were radically different than those of other people in the Roman Empire, we know that people were pressing in on these new church communities. And so Peter writes this letter, and it really is a letter of encouragement in the midst of suffering. And we know that their suffering, the situation that they were going through, in a lot of ways was different than what we're experiencing. But in this similarity of a trial, what did Peter write as an encouragement to these churches? I believe that there's a universal theme that rings out to me in a really similar way. So if you're with me in 1 Peter, we're going to start reading in verse 3. Peter writes this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." Guys, right in that is a glimpse of the gospel, that God loved us, that he sent his son for us, and that he has given us new birth into a living hope. Continuing on, "This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." How does Peter encourage this church? He says to them, "You have been given a new birth and a new hope." I find myself thinking this, that in the midst of the ways that the world has changed over the past 6 weeks, as this has really changed the landscape of the U.S., as this has changed things personally in my own life, that perhaps we need to zoom the picture out a little bit and see things from an eternal perspective, the way God sees them. What does that mean? It means that for us, the most important need that we have as humans is the regeneration of our souls. And so no matter what our circumstances are, the good or the bad, the physical, the financial, we set our perspective on a biblical foundation when we recognize that our greatest need has been met in the justification of Christ on the cross. And even more so, that Jesus, by raising from the dead, raising himself from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, that God has told us that no matter what our circumstances are, we have been given a hope in the resurrection. This is the gospel. This is the good news declared in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, that God has chosen us to be his people. And if you look at this language of an inheritance and a new birth, Peter is clearly trying to tell these churches that God has invited us into a new family based on the person of Jesus Christ, and he has given us a new identity as God's children. And so we get to live with a different foundation, an unshakable foundation, that we can live knowing that though the world offers many different contrary messages, whether in good times or bad, that we cling to the hope of the cross. Fourth years, I want you to leave UVA knowing that in Christ your hope is secure. And I hope that will be true of you, not just in these days, but in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years, that as you get new jobs, as you move to different cities, as you raise families, our prayer for you is that you would know that in Christ you have a new identity and you have a sure hope. First, second, and third years, my question for you is, as the fourth years pass the baton to you, how will you lead differently? How will you now be tone setters for the community of Christ at UVA? Will you choose to live differently because of this hope that is secure? One thing I know for sure, that over this past 6 weeks, I have been more aware of the significance of my eternity and what it means for my daily life than perhaps I ever have been. And it's no secret why. Because as I look at the grieving, as I consider the losses, as I think about the bad things that are happening in the world, that for me, I've been feeling like I've been staring right into the middle of the perishing, fading, spoiling world. And it leaves me with a question of what's to come. I was reading in Ecclesiastes with my small group a few weeks ago, and it has a really interesting thought. It actually says that God has set eternity into the hearts of men and women. And I love that thought. And I wonder, as things have quieted down around me, as things have really gotten a whole lot less noisy, if God has been showing me, and if God has been showing you, the joy that is found as we look towards eternity, as we set our foundation in that living hope. If you look back at the passage, Peter says something really similar, that in trials, that we are proving the genuineness of our faith. It's interesting that this is kind of a strange gift, that we start to notice and take stock of the other things that we're putting our hope in, and we actually get to look at the home and the hope that we find in Christ. And honestly, this has rearranged the ways that I think about my day, the way that I think about my week, because I've been noticing that the Lord has given me this reset button almost to consider what could this mean in light of eternity. Even though the days feel longer, even though the weeks feel longer, how could God actually be using this time for my good and for His glory? And perhaps it is in this reminder that my hope isn't in this, that my hope is secure. Well, guys, this is our last M&L. It's been said before, this is our last M&L this semester. So I think it would be a missed opportunity if I didn't also share with you guys how I see the anchors at play in this first chapter of 1 Peter. The anchors are basically what we would call our core convictions about a life that is firmly rooted in Christ. Three basic principles of how we set our foundation on God. So what do I see first? First, I see that there's an understanding that Peter and the churches that he writes to, that the churches have been built on the proclamation of Jesus, and honestly, they are probably suffering for the proclamation of Jesus. I just don't want us to forget or overlook that we are called to real responsibility, and that it is a steadying conviction of our lives as Jesus followers that we are meant to share with others the secure hope that we have. This is not meant to be something that we hold on to and never share with others, that our mission as believers is to continue to keep proclaiming Christ as King no matter where we go. You know, I think a lot of us expected that during this season that COVID would actually be a setback to the ways that we have been engaging others and we have been sharing our hope. But I don't actually think that that's been the case. As I've talked to friends, one of my friends said that he had a different conversation about faith with his brother than he's ever been able to have before, simply because they've been spending more time together now that people are home. And I have a coworker who sends out a monthly report on what's going on in Chi Alpha. And one of her family members reached out for the very first time to ask her, what she thought about faith or what she had to say in this present situation. I just don't think that those are coincidences. I think that if we know anything about God, we know that in all circumstances, he's going to use it for his glory, and he's going to use it for sharing his goodness with people. He cares too much to let this be wasted time. And I also know that sometimes it's in words, but sometimes it's also in actions, that the way that we live differently surely shows that we have a hope that is secure. I have a friend and a Chi Alpha alum who works in a hospital as a nurse, and her wing of a hospital has been repurposed to be a COVID recovery center. That is, people are leaving the ICU, but they still need sustained care, that they go into her wing. So the hospital, in trying to take precautions to take care of the nurses and to take care of the patients and to stop the spread of the virus, they have been issuing a new set of scrubs for each nurse for every shift. And so as this alum goes to work, she is putting on this new set of clothing, and she is literally putting herself at risk, her own health at risk, to take care of those who are sick. And she said it was striking to her as she entered into the hospital to take care of other people who were sick and who were in need of help, how similar it looked to John 13, when Jesus takes off his outer garment, he kneels before his disciples, he washes their feet, and he tells them to do likewise. How similar of an image it is to put on new clothing and to take care of those who are in need, with a hope that is found in Christ. So I don't want us to underestimate the life-changing, history-altering message that is the gospel. And I want us to be reminded of it now and wherever we go, that we have opportunities to proclaim in our words and in our actions that we have a secure hope. And let us follow the example of the early churches that Peter is writing to. Now, if you look at this letter, When Peter is trying to say an encouraging word to hurting, suffering churches, what does he actually use to remind them of? He reminds them of the character of God and the ways in which God has already acted on their behalf and has loved them. My question to you guys is, how do we remind ourselves of those same truths? Well, guys, I think you know what's coming. It's our real devotional life that keeps us tethered to this reality of a new home and a new hope. It's no secret that right now it's so easy to log onto YouTube, to watch Netflix, to read the news, and to be distracted and entertained by the things that are going on around us. Sometimes even this time is boring, and we wonder what we're going to do to get through the day. But I think as I got home, and I actually heard you guys repeat this too, that as I got home, I kind of felt myself being at this crossroads path. Would I get through this time by entertaining myself, by distracting myself from the things that are going on outside of my home? Or would I use this time to lean into what God had for me, believing that he still speaks, believing that perhaps my relationship with him could grow in a new way during this season? Fourth years, I know this, that if the staff could give you one gift upon your graduation, a life skill or a rhythm of life that we would want you to carry on for the rest of your lives, it would be a real devotional life. Because we know that this season in college has been exciting for you, that you guys have grown in wild ways. We celebrate that with you, that we have seen these past 4 years and the ways in which God has moved among you and through you. But guys, if there's any special sauce of Chi Alpha, it's not actually Charlottesville. It's not UVA. No, it's not McLeod, even though, you know, McLeod's our home. It's not the hub. The thing that sets us apart, the thing that roots us and makes us different, is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the good news, guys, is that that Holy Spirit goes with you. That as the Holy Spirit dwells in each person, he makes us a temple, and he gives us his Holy Spirit wherever we go. And so I want to leave you with that, that in your real devotional life, that you are praying, that you are considering the things of God, and that you are going with the power of the Holy Spirit wherever you find yourself this summer, this next year, or in this next decade. And then lastly, we look at this letter and we see an encouragement that Peter writes to the churches that he cares for, the ones that he loves. And guys, I believe that this letter is a great example of how to love others well in real community. How appropriate is that this letter is written to exiles scattered. And I know that for us in this time that we have felt scattered, we have been, but I know that also upon graduation, that the Chi Alpha alum start beginning to find themselves in new cities, in new towns, in new jobs, in new positions. And so they find themselves scattered as well. What an encouragement then that as Peter writes this letter, he's not just writing to people that he's always in the same room as. He is doing life alongside them and encouraging them in the truths of Scripture, even though he is far away. And so my prayer is that we would be a community that does this as well. It has been such an encouragement to see how you guys have loved each other well over these past few weeks. You guys have totally, totally, totally done it. You guys have reached out and made phone calls. You guys have encouraged each other. You guys have entertained each other. Thank you for the vlogs. You guys have made connection points. But what I want to point out to you guys in this letter is this, that Peter not only continues to connect with others, he is also encouraging them in the truths of God. And I pray that that would be what we do, that whether life gives us things to celebrate or things to mourn and to grieve, that we would be friends who would turn each other to what we know to be true about God and his love for us. When we feel particularly discouraged, I hope that there is a Chi Alpha friend who is there for you, and I hope that we are Chi Alpha friends who are there for others in the good and the bad. And for our fourth years, I hope that these past 4 years are just the beginning of the lifelong friendships and the ways that you will continue to build up one another in your faith. And so as a parting thought, I just want to say, if we took 1 Peter seriously, I believe that it would produce in us a new gratitude. Despite difficult circumstances, that we would be rooted in a right perspective of God's love for us in Christ. And I also believe that it would show us how to have a different kind of hope, a hope that is not based in our circumstances, but a hope that is based in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, that in his death and resurrection, that it is finished, and we are called home with an eternal, imperishable hope. So I hope that this encourages you today, that as you discuss together how to be anchored this summer, how to be anchored in the future, that you guys would pray together and consider the ways in which God would be asking you to depend on him as your secure hope. So one more time, I just want to say, my hope is secure. Your hope is secure. I miss you guys. I wish you guys all the best. I can't wait to be with you soon. Will you pray together with me? Lord Jesus, what a fundamental truth, God, that you love us and that you have called us to be your children, that you have given us a new identity and you are calling us home with a hope. God, would we do what we can to grieve these circumstances, to not ignore the losses, to not gloss over the seriousness of this situation, Lord? But God, in the midst of it, Lord, would you give us an eternal perspective to know that in you, our hope is secure. That in you, it is finished on the cross, and that you have done what it takes to be with you, justified by you, and to be in relationship with the living God. That you give us hope in your resurrection, and you call us with a purpose to share that hope with others. I pray over every fourth year that you would be with them tonight and upon their graduation. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Chi Alpha at the University of Virginia podcast. For more information, you can visit our website, xaatuva.com.